Welcome to She Says with your host, Stephanie Regalado. She Says guests share stories from their challenges to successes and, most importantly, the journey of womanhood woven alongside the collaboration of sisterhood. From self, love, friends and family, to hot topics, career, and world views, Stephanie and her guests discuss matters with utmost openness and honesty. So let's hear what she says. Here's Stephanie.
Hello, welcome to She Says. I'm Stephanie Regalado. My guest Judith Spitzer is joining me. Judith, you've been a journalist since 1989.
A long time.
A long time. So I was thinking about it a lot recently, wondering what it's been like, journalism has looked like, how it's changed over the years. We're kind of in this heightened space right now where negative things are being said about journalism, people aren't sure which outlets to trust, and the president's gone as far as to say that press is the enemy of the people, which it's a First Amendment that must be pretty important if it was a First Amendment.
Well, it must be pretty important if it's in the Constitution.
Of the Constitution, yes. Anyway, all that being said, what are your thoughts? What is it? Well, what sort of...
Well, when I started in journalism, I graduated from Metropolitan State University in Denver, and I had two kids while I was going through school, so I took a little longer than some people. Mm-hmm. But I've always known that I wanted to be a journalist, at least from the time of, middle school. And one of the things that compels me to do what I do is, I think there's a tendency of all journalists when they first get into the field, they want to change the world.
Yes.
I wanted to bring out issues that nobody talked about, mm-hmm. quote unquote, women's issues. Yeah. So I've worked in numerous newsrooms, from the Denver Post to the Oregonian to a number of other smaller papers where I was editor. Mm-hmm. And one of the pivotal jobs that I had was the first job I had as editor of a women's magazine in Denver. And I did that job while I was still going to school. And one of the things that happened to me while I was going to school was we got a call one day at the newspaper that there'd been a shooting in the courthouse. And this was before there were laws about banning weapons from the courthouse. And it was one of the cases that pushed that through. Okay. An attorney for a woman who was in court, her perpetrator was a sheriff's officer. And he had, it was a domestic violence case. Mm-hmm. And the attorney for the woman had been shot in court by this sheriff's officer. In court.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was just stunning. Mm-hmm. And this case helped, put those laws into place about not having weapons in the courtroom. Mm-hmm. But
that is that true even for law enforcement?
If they're engaged in a case, if they're there doing their job, no, they can have weapons.
Okay.
But it's just... he was there. Mm-hmm. She was trying to get custody, and mm-hmm. It was a divorce case. So that was just stunning to me that that can happen. And so since then, I've looked into one of the stories that I've followed all my career is domestic violence, police officers and domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And there's many more cases than people even realize.
Right. Yeah, I remember when we first met, many years ago, I can't even remember now, more years ago.
2012.
Yeah. Yes, but I remember that being domestic violence in particular was a passion of yours to cover and kind of be a voice of, in particular in law enforcement, because those numbers are so far higher.
And when I got into writing about domestic violence, there were no numbers. It's just like missing and murdered Indigenous women today. It reminded me of that when I did that last story, that mm-hmm. the numbers didn't exist then. Nobody was counting how many mm-hmm. women were killed from domestic violence. So in the interim, in those, 30 years, there's been tremendous good things happening for domestic violence. In domestic violence.
Right. It's amazing to think that those weren't, those numbers weren't even tracked. But like you said, in the November issue of Spokane-Corlean Living magazine, actually have it on your stack over there. You wrote the article that you just referenced, Murdered and Missing Indigenous Women. And it's a stunning piece. I watched a documentary not long before you wrote that article, and I just...
What documentary did you see? Because there's
That was on the Canadian in Canada, because in Canada is where it started, I think, bubbling up more, and now the U.S. seems to be taking more.
I just read this morning that Canada is actually doing a database of missing and murdered Indigenous women, and that's not what one of the laws passed in Washington State requires, that there's communication between the tribes and local law enforcement, so that those numbers can start being generated.
Right, because they have no idea. It can be anywhere from 1,000 to 4,000 or well over that, they're saying, that are missing.
I think the database.
And murdered. How do you, how do women going missing and murdered and not being, how is that not a thing?
Because they're at such a low level of the society. I mean, being Native Americans is the one strike against them in our culture. And then if they're women besides that, they're just not, we don't support them, we don't value them, and so they just fall by the wayside. Nobody pays any attention.
Oh, it's horrible. So that's a huge thing I'm hearing that you've witnessed throughout your career, that, I mean, you've been a voice from early on, but the voice, there's so much more coverage now.
There is, absolutely.
And exposure, and so that's pretty amazing.
Except for the officer-involved domestic violence, that still gets brushed under the rug, mostly because most, I won't say most, but a lot of law enforcement officials, it doesn't even get to the point of media getting involved because those records are so secretive. So lots of times it gets brushed under the rug and nobody even knows. You know, if somebody gets has a domestic violence case against them, then the media knows about it because it's it's out there as a legal document.
What is another case or a piece that you've covered through the last 30 years that stands out to you?
A lot of the stories that I've done for you, because I have license to cover hot topics. So there's been many, many, many stories. One that I did recently for the Spokesman, I write for the Spokesman and the Business Journal as well. And I wrote a piece on Nabo.
So that was a fun one. You were able to interview Elizabeth Gilbert. I know, you're the lucky one. We all were jealous about that. I'm sure I could have gotten in there, too, if I wanted to, but who knows.
I worked hard to get that interview, believe me, and they kept me to the 10-minute mark.
Oh, they did.
10 or 15 minutes,
Yeah. She was phenomenal.
She was very down-to-earth and very easy to talk to.
Yeah. So that's a that was a fun piece, because you're highlighting all this, this incredible work that this organization is doing and women in business are doing locally and across the nation. But you also, in my magazine, Spokane-Corlean Living, you covered college rapes. That's another one that's, they're really having trouble understanding the true numbers. Well, rape in general. You wrote the one about rape kits. That one still sticks into my mind, that there was the backlog of how many rape kits?
Over 1,000 in Spokane.
That was one of the things that really frustrated me when people were talking about during the whole Kavanaugh hearing, when people are saying, if you're raped, you need to go get a rape kit done. Or you need to go to the hospital, you need to have a rape kit done.
It's a very invasive process.
Well, it's invasive, and then it's shelved for how long?
In rural areas especially, there's not any nurses that are trained. I mean, you have to be specially trained to do this, to be empathetic and to do all of the invasive procedures that are required for that. Not to mention, you're letting all these people know what happened to you. And as curious as it seems ironic even to about things that have happened to me. Why do we feel guilty? You know, women right. feel guilty that they did something to cause the rape or the mm-hmm. sexual assault.
Yeah.
And it's just mind-boggling. I've had experiences in my own life where I've worked years and years in therapy to get over, mm-hmm. to get okay with things that have happened to me. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them have been sexual assaults. Mm-hmm. But
do you feel as though that's affected your reporting at all? So I know as a journalist, you have to stay so
balanced.
So how do you stay balanced when you have these experiences and these passions that rise up in you and emotions?
You know, people think that we just come out of nowhere and be a journalist. I went to journalism school, and they teach you in journalism school how to bring out the other side, the other argument about what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have very strong feelings about sexual assault and mm-hmm. rape and all those kinds of things that happen to women because it happened to me as well. But mm-hmm. it also gives me an empathy to talk to those women mm-hmm. and for those women to open up to me and talk about what happened to them, even though they know it's going to be, mm-hmm. you know, published in a magazine.
Yeah. So do you think that you then are your bias is toward women, and that may affect how you think about or treat the men who may be accused?
Honestly, I've never covered a story where I covered, well, that's not true. I did. I covered a story where I went to a men's group and listened to what they were doing mm-hmm. and talking about men who have had, who were perpetrators of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a strange place to be when you feel that strongly about something. But I have prided myself on, you know, I wouldn't call it a bias. I would mm-hmm. call it more, it's more of a understanding mm-hmm. of the woman's part. Mm-hmm. But I've also done a lot of research on who are those men who beat women or rape them. Or mm-hmm. And I do have an understanding of maybe their upbringing, how they mm-hmm. got to where they are, because that's usually what has happened to them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just doing it in a vacuum. But it's also our culture that lets them get away with it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, they get their hands slapped and go back to life as usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some, and we can talk about that for hours, that whole, the whole system that's super frustrating. Particularly as women. Did you hear this, that the Women Helping Women Fund, this is a total side step, but the Women Helping Women Fund is having a male be their keynote speaker this year.
Apparently. Really? Who is it?
I don't remember who it is. I can look it up. But I think it sounds as though maybe he had been abused at some point, either his childhood or his life in some way, so they wanted to bring in a new perspective.
That's great.
Oh, you think that's great?
Love that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad to hear. I didn't know how I felt about it. I didn't understand why Women Helping Women Fund would have a male as a keynote when it's women-centered. That's just I haven't had a male as a guest because it's She Says and I really want it. It's not She Says What I Say. It's She Says What My Guest says. Right. So you kind of have to be a she for that.
You know.
Yeah, so how do you feel about it? You feel?
No, I feel.
I feel protective about sticking with females being keynotes
like that. And if it were any other venue, I might be opposed to it. But Women Helping Women has been so helpful to women and all of the grants that they have and all the money that they give to women's organizations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I learned early on that if you don't have men on board with this, it's not until the men in the locker room or wherever in the police station where they're alone with other men. Mm-hmm. It's not until we get that group of men talking about valuing women and supporting women that this is going to change.
Oh, that's
and so,
point.
You know, I've always valued that. Mm-hmm. Women Helping Women also has a group of men that are attending the annual luncheon that I wrote a story about.
Oh, okay.
The good guys.
Oh, they're the good guys? I know each of them, like the YWCA now has the guys they all wear purple boas. This is huge. Yeah, the YWCA for their Women of Achievement luncheon. They have a lot of men are coming out and they're bringing more in. But I totally agree with you what you're saying. And that's a great way to look at it. to have more men involved, because when I was talking to my son about that, when after the whole locker room talk thing came out a couple years ago,
right?
Not that that's the first time it's ever come out, but it was just made more national news, that topic. I asked him, is that what you hear in your locker rooms? And he said, yes. So I asked him, what does he do about it? Because he won't speak that way or treat or think of women in that way. And he said that he just didn't say anything. So I asked him if he felt like it was his responsibility to say, to check anyone, say, hey, guys, no, not appropriate.
Certainly, or you're not disgusting. In high school, it's hard to speak up to a group of your peers.
Mm-hmm.
That you know are going to be made fun of for that, which is really sad. The whole thing's really sad that they can't speak up, that you know, that they would get flack back from other guys about it.
Well, and it's so scary too that way, because people will come back and they may say something about you.
Right.
I mean, they may say something about Christopher, that my son, who, I mean, and he doesn't want to have to deal with that, having to.
I understand that.
But, yeah, so I love that whole idea of getting men involved in those groups. All right, I'll chill out a little bit about the whole thing. Yesterday I was like, what is this?
No, I think it's probably a good thing.
Good. How do you feel about this, the whole, I started it with it, but the press is the enemy of the people. Okay. Anyone even uttering that
Every
statement?
Time. I hear that statement, the hair on the back of my neck stands on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've watched this since 2016. And to denigrate a group of people for doing their jobs, it's just unconscionable.
Do you feel as though the press is skewing things so horrifically, or skewing things at all? I mean, there's different. Of course, you watch Fox News and it's one thing. You watch CNN and it's one thing.
Right.
I mean, there are these angles.
I've sat down and watched Fox News a couple of times. And it's like, I don't even know how they live in their world. I don't know. I don't understand how it is so completely different on Fox News than it, you know, they agree every once in a while. But it's just basically totally a different place.
And why?
I don't feel like it's skewed. No.
Or that people are lying or making things up. Or, I mean, a lot of things that
I feel like Donald Trump is lying and making things up.
They say now the polls or whatever they're doing, he averages 35 to 45 lies.
Yeah, and it's gone up exponentially since before the election. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and it's hard when that's happening. And then you're also saying that the press is lying. I mean, I don't understand right now. I think that I would like almost not one person in the U.S. to be able to say they're comfortable with the way that our president is acting and speaking to people and speaking about people. I mean, calling the woman a horse face. And then there you have Melania, who's his wife. Her platform is bullying, cyberbullying in particular, and when he tweets it out, so that's cyberbullying. I wonder what that's like for her, and if she feels as though that's a crossing the line.
I don't know.
That's
like
getting
to
into
that.
The line. These are the things that make me that I'm curious about.
I can't believe what the man stands up and says to the American public. I can't imagine what it's like to be married to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of empathy for Melania before she came out with that jacket where she said, "Who cares? I don't."
Yeah.
What?
I meant to go back and watch the interview that they had with her about what that was all about.
Well, she says all the right things because somebody feeds her the right things to say.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't want to attack her just because she's married to him.
Mm-hmm. I've actually watched him give speeches where he stayed on the prompter.
Right.
And he does really well when he stays on the prompter. I wish his people had more impression on him.
I think
to stay
people
off
have just
Twitter
turned it off. I mean, I'm one of the last diehards that watch MSNBC and CNN and all of the news channels trying to figure out what is really going on.
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
Yeah, and people used to read more so they knew, you know, different points of view and all that. And I think that that's helpful if you have that Mm-hmm. Like I said, I watch Fox News, but that viewpoint is so skewed to me that I can hardly sit there and...
Do you think it's skewed because you don't... You're more progressive, so you...
I'm definitely progressive.
But sometimes it's hard to see, to be in the other person's shoes.
Right. And if you're asking me if I can be in Donald Trump's shoes, no.
You know, I do appreciate there are times when Fox News has, like, they pulled off the ad, the racist ad that Donald Trump recently was the whole part of. And during the press conference yesterday, he was asked about that, if he regrets that or if that was a bad decision. They even point out Fox News even wouldn't run it. And he said, nope, no regrets.
Well, the difference between what goes on at Fox News and what goes on at regular journalism sites is, and what Donald Trump is doing, I just feel like he's playing this game. I mean, he's continued on with his...
reality show?
Yeah.
Life? That's what it felt like yesterday watching.
It feels like that all the time when I watch him.
It's embarrassing to know that we're on a world
And this thing
platform.
About the caravan, saying that these people are...
Invading the country.
The dregs of society, and they're planted there by Democrats. And, I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's...
But people are, I mean, people watching this are probably really upset right now with this conversation because they believe it.
Right.
And they think we're libtards.
I think even those people are turned off at times by his rhetoric and his attack on people. I just could not get over it that he attacked the people in the Republican Party, six people who didn't win because they didn't embrace him.
Well, when he did say a couple of times, it's me, it's because of me, it's because of Donald Trump, why certain things happened.
Why? Right. And he said that about the ones that won. But he said the ones that didn't win in the Republican Party were because they didn't suck up to him and, you know, let him help them.
Well, and that's what's – and I'm hoping that becomes more enlightened on the red side where they're seeing that – I mean, you can be turned on in a heartbeat. He turned on Paul Ryan in a – snap about the birthright citizenship thing when he had made a comment like, yeah, you can't just do an executive order to change the Constitution. you just can't just do that. And and then he ripped Paul
what Ryan I don't understand about people that follow him is why they can't see that he is an oligarch, that he wants to be he doesn't want to be what we have in the United States. He doesn't want to have a democratic America. He wants to run it all himself, and he says it all the time. You're there because of me. This is only I can do this.
Yeah, we got track a little bit because we're going to stick with journalism, but this is part because especially yesterday with Dan Acosta losing his press credentials for the White House and just the president being belittling so many of those in the press room and openly saying he doesn't like them.
And I wondered about that woman who was grabbing the microphone from Acosta. I mean, I watched the whole thing. And she tried to grab it several times, and then she grabbed it and held on to it for a minute.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she got
She must have gotten a sign because she didn't.
A sign
bent down, which is good. Because you don't. I mean, we shouldn't be wrestling.
No.
And granted, you want someone to be finished.
And then Sarah Sanders comes out and says that he.
Yeah, he physically
put his hands on her.
Mm-hmm. That's why they took his credentials.
Okay, I saw it with my own eyes. I didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
In fact, he said, excuse me, madam.
Yeah, the whole thing just seems like it's out of control mess. What do you think can pull it all together? Do you think it's just going to continue being a mess?
No, I think it's going to help that Democrats have control of the House now. Mm-hmm. I think
but
it's going to help.
As journalism, journalism and the press and all of that, do you think that... I think that they shouldn't rely on the president to be the one that's going to correct how these go because he is who he is. He's been this way for a long time.
Right.
I think as professionals in the journalism community that they're going to have to be the ones that kind of control those moments. But I guess they're hired to really dig in.
But if there's somebody that has control of the environment that you're in, how do you control that rhetoric? How do you control the... the only thing I think that the media can do is continue to be trustworthy. Mm-hmm. People in my profession, everyone I've known, I have never known anyone that doesn't have a significant amount of integrity. and is there for a reason. They're there because they believe in the truth.
Yeah.
And for the other side not to get that, I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, I know it appears sometimes when you open up the newspaper that you're seeing somebody else's, you may not agree with whatever the reporter is talking about, mm-hmm. but hopefully there is a side of balance, and hopefully there are other places besides the daily paper where you can get information mm-hmm. that you may agree with.
It does seem like one of the best things to do is just check multiple sources or multiple outlets.
Right.
Receive your information from multiple outlets.
And that's getting harder and harder with the internet.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, I sit mm-hmm. and wonder sometimes, am I reading something that's not true? And I try really hard to, you know, verify.
Yeah, that's a good tip for our viewers. No matter how you feel about any of this, verify anything before you share it.
Right.
Because my own father was sharing something, just these horrible, it's all the fear-mongering. And then we should all be on heightened alert knowing that the Russians did tamper with social media.
Significantly.
And put things in there that America's not even making this stuff up. Russia did it to create discord within us. And we've poorly taken that soup and swallowed it whole. So we need to be more aware and take responsibility too of what we're ingesting.
I have a lot of friends who, not in the media, but and family members who are just going off Facebook mm-hmm. because they don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we've gone on and on forever, and I've never been given the cue to take a break, so I'm not sure where I am in this. Producer? Vinny?
You can take a break whenever.
Okay. Are we on? I don't even know if we're really on. Okay, we're going to take a short break and be back for a quick wrap-up. Thanks.
Welcome to Tom Sawyer Country Coffee.
Tom Sawyer Country Coffee only roasts the finest organic coffee for our signature blends. Enjoy a cup at our coffee shop and local businesses and organizations across the region.
I'm Tom Sawyer, and we choose the Pacific Northwest.
What? You haven't been to the library lately? Stop in today and see that the library is more than books. Spokane County Library District facilities feature on-site technology, including Wi-Fi, computers, and printers, as well as free use of meeting rooms. The Library District offers events and programs for all ages, from story times to career development and employer classes to social security workshops. Our staff is well-trained and happy to help. Find out more about your library at scld.org.
The economy is getting stronger, banks are lending again, and interest rates are at historic lows. Now is a great time to buy your dream home. The caring and knowledgeable professionals at Homes for You have been helping people just like you for over 20 years. They take the time to listen to what you want and will help you find just the right home in Washington or Idaho. Real estate is what we do at Homes for You, 928-5782, or visit online at homes4uspokane.com.
Welcome back to She Says, if you've been able to hang in with us. We truly, it is a conversation with our guests and the hosts. And this truly was if there were flies on the wall, because we, I think, totally lost the fact that there may be people watching and tuning in. But and just carried on and on. This is
I do want to celebrate the fact that more than 100 women won in the elections that we just had. Mm-hmm. There's more women in Congress now than ever.
Yeah,
several
historic
women more won governorships. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the diversity in that group is unbelievable compared to what's mm-hmm. going on in the culture.
Absolutely.
You know, we had a Muslim woman. We had a Native American woman. Mm-hmm. The governor of Colorado is the first openly gay
governor.
I can hardly wait. Crazy. I wish I could have seen the look on the face of the guy that sued the gay couple because he didn't want to bake their cake, and now he has a gay governor.
Oh, that's in the same state?
Yes.
I haven't even
paid
attention. Oh, gosh.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're probably feeling like there's an invasion and they aren't able to stop it.
Well, they have weed, though. Yes,
so. Well, they can just keep smoking. If it hurts too much, you either move to Canada or just smoke a lot. Dope. No, it was amazing. Week for women.
Absolutely.
Truly. And I think that that's a great way for our country to go for everyone's benefit. And we need equal representation, definitely.
Absolutely.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be making decisions for men. I'd never want to be in a position where I'm making a decision for a man. Have you thought of it that way?
No.
Because we've had a lot of men in positions of power that are making decisions for women. And they make decisions for everybody. But right. When I think about it in the reverse of that, I would not feel comfortable at all.
Well, I'm such an egalitarian. I mean, I would like everybody to be equal. And I know that's
equality is one thing. Yeah, equality is one thing, but also honoring and valuing the very different nature between females and males.
Yeah, I've written a lot about the C-suite and women in the C-suite and how do women get the power and how do they keep it and how their leadership skills are different than a man's. Not saying that men's leadership skills aren't valid, but women have a difference to bring to the table.
Yeah. Well, and it's neat, just like in a home that values a mother and a father.
Right.
Just that nuclear system, or that, and I don't mean this for against gay couples at all. That's not, but I'm just talking about for men in power.
Right.
Who also tend to fall in the line with wanting a woman and a man as a family and seeing the value in that system. I would also think that they would see the value in women also representing and being part of things outside of the home.
Right, I understand that, you know.
So, but that's where there's a lot of little things and little dots that don't necessarily make sense.
Right.
But I'm just saying a lot of men feel comfortable making those decisions.
I know, which is really odd, isn't it?
But I think it's just always the
way it's
been.
You never hear a man say, I don't want to make a decision for a woman.
No. There's a lot of amazing men embracing more and more women and valuing them in the workplace as well.
Absolutely.
Just because that mix, it's the two styles of leadership mixed together, I think, is where the brilliance really comes out.
Yeah.
Not one or the other, but it's the togetherness.
Exactly.
Of it.
So, and that's what they've found.
But yes.
It takes men who allow women to into the leadership fields and listen to them.
And then women to continue rising up in their confidence of also showing up and feeling on equal ground, even if it doesn't necessarily, that's not right. necessarily the reality. But on that note, I think that we should wrap this up.
Right.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure. I'd love to have you on again. We should schedule you in every now and then to talk about very specific things you've covered in the magazine, because the Hot Topic is always a great space of things that you cover in our region that are pretty eye-opening. And we have a lot more ideas to come in that department.
Yeah, so. I love writing that column. So
yeah, thank you. Thank you for tuning in to She Says. We will see you next time.
She Says is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content.